Now, Saturday, April 14th, Mark's Barn, 12 miles north of Huron.
Well, good morning again. Welcome back to Ag Hour. Chuck and Todd in the studio today, and we're heading to Brookings. Dr. Russ Daly, the SDSU Extension Veterinarian. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Chuck.
Well, we got some sunshine. Hopefully you got some. It's been a nasty spring for these this livestock, hasn't it?
Yeah, we're getting a little sunshine, and it sure makes everything feel and look a lot better. But you're right. It's been a tough stretch here lately.
Are we seeing some? First, we had the wet, and I know some guys had some scours with that because they couldn't get them out in the pasture. It's too sloppy and wet. Are we seeing some of that earlier, and now with this cold coming up?
Yeah, we have seen, I've been getting a lot of calls about calf issues, a lot of submissions here to the diagnostic lab, and it's proven to be kind of a nasty season for a lot of different bugs, calf scours included. So anytime we had that the stretch of really muddy, kind of cool, damp, cloudy days, you know, that really is good conditions for those bacteria and viruses that cause scours to live and survive and make themselves more available for calves. And what's more, you know, you have the weather conditions that kind of put a stress on the calf system. You know, they have to spend a lot of energy just to keep themselves warm when it's rainy and cold and cool out there. A lot of their resources kind of get drawn away from fighting off things like scours, bugs, and navel infections and those kind of things. So it all kind of works against the calves, in the favor of the germs and against the calves, if you want to look at it that way.
So what can they do out there as these things hit? Do they have some medication they can at least give to them around the early stages?
Well, it depends on what they're seeing in the calves and the issues they're specifically dealing with. When we're dealing with calf scours, I always first have the conversation, and sometimes it goes very far and sometimes it doesn't go very far at all, the conversation does, about where are you calving and where else could you possibly calve your cows out. What we see more so this year than most years is that we're calving in certain areas, calving pens, calving pastures that are really, you know, getting pretty muddy and sloppy, and a lot of germs available for those baby calves to be exposed to in those first few hours of life. So where else could you move the rest of the cows that haven't calved yet onto another patch of ground? Maybe it's not as handy for, you know, getting to a calving problem or getting water to them or going out to feed them. But calving onto a clean patch of ground, if you can figure out a way to do that, and it's tough because everything's muddy and everything's kind of sacrificed at this point, but if you can find a patch to calve on for a while, you're going to be better off, and at least you're going to break the cycle. So the new calves won't be exposed to the germs as much as the calves that are still kind of hanging around that were born in that contaminated environment. A lot easier said than done, I know, though.
Well, yeah, like this year, normally around the 1st of April, you got some mud, you can put them out in the pasture. It's going to dry off a little and don't need a lot of protection, but now we're sitting down to 1 degree 0 with wind and snow. You got to have protection out when you move them out in those pastures, too, and it's really tough on some cases.
Yep, there has to be something out there for them. You're exactly right, especially when it's getting down so cold and windy like we've had the last couple of days here. That really saps the energy out of these guys too. So where we can move the animals it is a really important thing to at least think about. If that's not possible, then producers are just and they're doing a good job of it, just being very vigilant about getting on top of the calves that have had issues or having issues right now. So getting on top of any scours issues with electrolytes, oral, you know, drenching with things like Hydrolyte or Replenish, those kind of products that replenish the electrolytes in the system and the fluids and help the calves acid base balance. Those are the things that are probably the most important for that calf that's undergoing a lot of diarrhea. but not all the calves are going through a lot of diarrhea. You know, we're just seeing weak calves and calves with run-of-the-mill navel infections and other stuff like that that's happening just because of the weather conditions and the stress on their little immune systems.
Now, you know, you look at it, we really had a pretty good winter for these cattle to keep in shape as we were out grazing well until after the first of the year. Are we seeing, hearing about some big calves, though, and some that are having problems. Were they in pretty good shape this year as we move into the calving season?
I was thinking so, yeah. I really thought so, and I guess I still do. You know, earlier winter wasn't really too bad. It's just been this time of year when we kind of expect spring to start hitting that it's just not happening for us. And so that's kind of, you know, drawing down the reserves of those cows a little bit now, too, when they should be exposed to warmer temperatures and not needing so much for themselves to keep warm as well. So I think we started out pretty good, but if we're not careful, we can kind of start going the other way, especially on cows that have a while before they're going to be calving yet.
Well, I think one good thing, we had plenty of feed and bedding going into the year. I know maybe the bedding's starting to get a little weak on some of these guys because I don't think we planned on going until April, but pretty good, had some pretty good of those supplies.
Well, yeah, you're right about that, and we certainly could be in some worse situations, that's for sure, when it comes to those aspects.
Well, Doc, I want to move over into, we had a Catch Valley virus from the sheep disease. We hadn't seen it for a while. Kind of caught us by surprise. Did we have quite a few incidences?
Well, we had some calls about that, and of course, you know, some of that comes through the diagnostic lab, but others are just you know, things that land producers kind of know that it's out there. Not quite maybe as bad as several years ago. I want to say, you know, back in 2011, we seemed to have a lot of problems with it as well. So maybe not as terrible a problem as some years, but it has been showing up. Yeah.
What can they do about that? Do they have to breed later after the mosquito season, or what would they do?
Yeah, you're right. You know, it is something that's spread by the mosquitoes, and when the mosquitoes hit that you in that exactly that right stage of gestation. Kind of in the middle, early part of gestation, yeah, that's when you start to see these problems. So, yeah, moving breeding is maybe something that people can think about, you know, because we do see the ones that are bred later in the fall that have less of a chance of having those problems. So. Yeah, that's probably the one intervention. We're not going to really be able to prevent mosquitoes from being around and maybe not be able to absolutely prevent mosquitoes from carrying it. So it's one of those things that's probably always going to be there every year. Hopefully we just don't see it that often within a certain flock.
I know I'm going to be talking with Heidi Carroll tomorrow on the BQA, Beef Quality Assurance. Little changes in there where I guess some are talking that by the beginning of 19 they aren't going to take cattle unless they're you have a BQA.
Right. Beef Quality Assurance is becoming more important for some of the processors, and that's kind of mirroring what we've had for years on the swine side of things. That's been a very... For many years now, swine processors have been requiring their producers to be pork quality assurance certified. So yeah, we're looking ahead to that, and Heidi's a great resource for BQA in our state, and we're taking steps to make sure everybody knows what the steps are to get certified. BQA is a really important thing for everybody to be involved with, whether it's something that you're required to do with your packers or not. It's just a good reminder of some of the things that most people are probably already doing to a large extent in their operations already.
Yeah, we'll have Heidi on tomorrow and go more into that. Before I let you go, Doc, I want to say, how is the diagnostic lab going?
Well, we've been talking about how the spring weather has been kind of crappy for calving. It's been kind of crappy for doing a lot of construction so far too, but they are doing some prep work. We've removed some buildings to the north of where the construction north of our building where the new building is going to go. So we've started to close off some parking lots, and there's some action going on. So as we get into the spring and summer, people will be able to see a lot more progress going on. But they're finally starting to see some changes, which is pretty exciting around here.
Now, where is that going in again now?
Right to the north of our existing building. And so people who have been used to going on North Campus Drive to drop things off here at our lab, past Animal Science and past the Vet Science Building, now as the new building gets put up, we're going to have an entrance off of Madary, so north of campus even. So that'll be even handier for people to access the lab and to drop off the things they need to drop off.
Well, I'm sure we're finding in years like this, we can sure use that new building and maybe move things through a little quicker. But, Doc, I sure appreciate you taking the time and bringing us up to date. And hopefully sunshine and warm weather can change a lot of things, can it?
Oh, it sure can. A lot of things.
Well, Doc, thank you very much.